Happy Easter, everyone. Ah, it feels good. The sun was shining so bright this morning, and our statues and everything are uncovered, and you just have that feeling like spring's on the way. You're hearing the birds sing louder. It's all good. I love spring. I love being in a place where there's four seasons because, you know, you then notice, or you long for the warmth and the light, you know, out of the darkness. That's really what this Easter is all about, right? You know, they could have given up hope. They could have lost hope. And instead, Jesus conquered even death and rose from the dead when all hope was lost. We've hit times in the history of our church where we've gotten to that place where people thought all hope was lost, or if it was so bad, they might say, well, don't worry about it. God's got this, or the Holy Spirit's got this. Both of those don't make sense when looking at church history. Instead, we look at those times when there were decadent hierarchs that were selling off the faith for pleasure, for power. We see heretics that were running rampant, and again, all seemed lost. How did the church survive? Was it by some last-minute accident or miracle? No, you know how it survived? Good people rose up in those times. There was an author that wrote about there were 9 separate times, other than our own, where we faced a crisis in the church. And each time it was the same thing. We brought light out from the darkness. Here we are in these times. I was pointing out last night, if you've ever been to an Easter Vigil service, it starts outside. And we light a little tiny flame from a blessed fire out there. And we light this Easter candle. And from it, we light our individual candles throughout the church. And you can see this pitch black darkness start to warm with the light. Kind of like spring is coming after a long, dark winter, right? The days are getting longer. I found it interesting in what we've traversed through, what we've been challenged with over the last especially couple years. Who can forget when Dr. Fauci stood up and said, we need 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, that became 2 years. It's been tough in a lot of ways. But maybe the toughest part was our apostles, our bishops, saying, yes, Jesus is non-essential. Marijuana is essential. Marijuana shops, you go over there. But Jesus is not essential. It's tough. Part of the crisis of our church. But I found it interesting, and here's where you need to bear with me, okay? You might have a lunatic for a father, for a pastor. And it's very probable I am. But here's what I did. You know what I did? I looked at the gestation period of a woman who was from conception to birth, and I looked at the days after that announcement that threw us into a very challenging time. And you know what it landed on? December 21st, 2020. The time, if you remember, a Christmas star appeared. Those of you who have heard me preach say, know that I've given attention to that. And we've given attention to it over these past 2 years, or year and a half since then. Why pay attention to it? First of all, I find it interesting that from the point that we were thrown into that challenging time, 2 weeks to flatten the curve that became 2 years. And I believe, I don't know what at what point after, it was more about training us to comply to elites, to tyrants, whatever you want to call it, ruling class. We've been trained over that period to easily comply, which is part of what we were challenged with. There's so many ways we were challenged. Business is lost. Suicide rates. I mean, like you go on and on. Challenging. And then to see our own apostles say, yeah, Jesus is not essential. So entered into that, and a birth came, this Christmas star. A tiny light like we had last night, right? Came out of the darkness. That's the way God works. And what did the Christmas star point to? Well, as soon as I saw that that was coming, and that it was the first time in 800 years, for whatever reason, I thought, okay, is God pointing to something that occurred the last time it appeared? Almost 800 years puts us to 1226. Two things are pointed out. You can Google it. Do the year of 1226, and these two things will come up. The first is St. Francis of Assisi went from this life to the next. What about St. Francis of Assisi? Here's a guy, if you've ever looked at his life, you know what he was? He was a spoiled rich kid. He was partying. He was having the time of his life. He was seeking all the worldly wants. But God wrestled him to the ground. You can look it up how specifically that happened. But what did he do? He detached himself. He made his life simple and therefore free. He detached himself. And then what did he do? He built a community. And what did he point to first and foremost? The Holy Eucharist. He said once, man should tremble. The whole world should quake. All heaven should be deeply moved when the Son of God appears on the altar in the hands of the priest. That's how he felt about the Holy Eucharist. And interesting to note, that in that same year, for the first time in the history of our church, the practice of Eucharistic adoration that was only practiced in monasteries was moved out into parishes for the first time. It went viral. Eucharistic adoration. We've been talking about that, haven't we? We've been practicing it, haven't we? Remember our time this past summer, every Thursday night, Thursday that's set aside for the Holy Eucharist, Heal Our Land Holy Hours. We made it as special as we could possibly be with this beautiful choir and like 80 candles in the sanctuary to help us what? To help us to adore the Lord, truly revere the Lord. Let us receive, Lord, that beautiful gift of awe and wonder, the very first gift of the Holy Spirit that opens us up to all the other gifts. That's why St. Francis pointed to that. And then let's look at what St. Francis also did. He built community. What did we do after our holy hour here? We went out at the lawn and we built our community. We tried our best to become the best, most loving family we could possibly be. We've been doing that too since then, with striving for holiness. The first Friday, five Fridays in a row, we did that. Again, adoring the Lord, receiving the gift of awe and wonder, and then being the family to the best we could possibly be. Why are we doing this? God showed us through the life of St. Francis and through the practice of Eucharistic adoration. And what do we see now? This June, the bishops have decided a three-year Eucharistic revival. I'm hearing that it's going to focus on Eucharistic adoration first and foremost. We're going to continue. If you don't know already, we have adoration every day now. We do it for the 30 minutes after Mass every morning. 7 to 7:30 is Mass. 7:30 to 8 is adoration. We expose the Blessed Sacrament. I climb into the confessional and make myself available so we can cooperate with grace. See, that's what history has proved. Good people that cooperate with God's grace become like those little lights that spread last night from that one light of Christ. We're called to that.
I want to conclude with a reflection I put together. I said, no matter what the temptations I face, no matter how many ways worldly desires want to pull me away from the Lord, He's always pulling me in. I said that turned into an acronym. Pull. P. Peace. My brothers and sisters, we've been seeking peace, haven't we? Peace through strength. Peace through getting as close as we can possibly be to the Lord. Peace by being in His humble abode. This morning, I hit my favorite psalm to start the Easter with morning prayer from the breviary. You, oh God, You are my God. For You I long, Psalm 63. For You my soul is thirsty, my body pines for You. And then it concludes with, on You I muse through the night, for You have been my help. In the shadow of Your wings I rejoice. And then I do this every time I pray Psalm 63. My soul clings to You. Your right hand holds me fast. I can feel Him grabbing my hand. Get as close as we could possibly be. And in that place we find a peace that can't be found anyplace else. He pulls me into His heart. So P, You, unity. We're facing challenging times. We can't do it alone. We can't be separated. We can't be divided. We need to be unified. And so we're working on that. We're working on the peace that comes through the unity of celebrating us as family. I love You dearly. And I want to be Your spiritual father, Your spiritual dad, to the best of my ability. I want to be family with You. And I think we're doing incredibly well. I believe, Bishop's talking about evangelization, I believe that the way to evangelize is to help people experience awe and wonder. So we're worshiping to the best of our ability. And then we are totally selfless in our love for each other as a family of God. There's nothing more attractive than that. So invite people to our church. Let them catch what we're doing. Which leads to the L of Paul. P-U-L. Love. We've come to understand that authentic love is all about self-forgetting. And that real love, the love for God, the love for the children of God, we seek to create a perfect world. A world that seeks only harmony. Don't we hate the division? Don't we hate the war? Don't we hate the chaos? Let's be vessels of love and harmony to the best of our ability. He's always pulling me. P-U-L, the final L. Life. What is life without God? What is life without my Christian family? It's nothing. It's empty. It's meaningless. I've discovered the meaning of life, and I know you have too. And I never want to leave it again. Ever, ever want to leave it again. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I can't live without You, my Lord and my God. Thank You for this Easter joy. Happy Easter, everyone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.